Hey, everybody, welcome to the Podcast Manager Show. Is it just me or is everyone talking about VIP days? I feel like everywhere in the freelance service-based world, everyone is talking about VIP days. And if you aren't familiar with what this is, it's a high-ticket offer where you work with a client, a brand new client, for just one day. Not one day a month, but just a single day. Your mind is probably exploding if this is the first time you've heard of this, but we're going to be talking about how you can use this VIP day structure as a podcast manager. Jordan Gill is the go-to for creating a VIP day offering, so I can't wait for you guys to hear what she has to share. Let's go talk to Jordan. Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. I mean, in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Hey, Jordan, I'm so excited to have you on the show today. How are you?
Good. I'm so pumped to be on the show too, Lauren. I get to talk about one of my favorite, actually two of my favorite subjects in one like sitting. So I feel really, really lucky.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to be talking about VIP days, which are so hot right now. And I'm excited for us to dive into it kind of in a more of a specific way for the podcast managers that are listening. But let me know first, how did you get into online business and how did you kind of land into teaching people about VIP days?
Yeah, so I have been in the online business industry for about 6.5 years. 4.5 of those are in my own business. The first two I worked for an online business owner named Melanie Duncan. She's not really in the space anymore, but she was kind of at the level of like Amy Porterfield, James Wedmore. She actually was in a mastermind with all of them. And so my introduction to this industry was like mega buku dollars, like big teams, like all of that stuff. And I was like, oh, this is fun, you know? And then, you know, you go into this, you know, new space of like, okay, I'm not working for a big buku team anymore. That's, you know, making 8 figures a year. I'm now by myself. And in my mind, it took a bit of a mental shift to be like, I don't have like 16 developers to like create all these awesome sales pages for me. It's just me. But I think it was a good learning lesson because about 5 months into my business, I realized that monthly retainers were just not for me, not because they're bad or wrong or anything like that. It was just a personal preference that I just got tired. I have very, very limited energy, like 5 to 6 hours a day. Like that's all you get from me for work. And then I crash. So it was like, that really caps the amount of clients I can take, right? Because it's attached to your time. And so, yeah, 5 months in, September 2016, I had what I called Launchmageddon. And it was when 3 out of my 4 clients were launching at the time. I was making good money, about $12,000 a month with these 4 clients. And 3 out of the 4 of them were launching in the same month. And these are all 7-figure business owners who are expecting 6 figures from these launches. And, you know, I'm like, this is for people who enjoy chaos. And I do not enjoy chaos. So after that month, I let go of 2 clients immediately. Nothing about them was bad. Just like, again, it was all that was too much. And so I kept 2 clients, just brought it down to where it's like, okay, living expenses, I feel good. And then I started to look at different business models because monthly retainers was all that I knew. And so I was like, besides monthly retainers and courses, I would say were like the 2 options. And I was like, but I kind of like working with clients. So I feel like there should be another way that I can still work with people, but it's just not on a recurring basis. And I hired a sales coach and she was super helpful because she ran VIP days. And so I did a VIP day with her and was like, I want to do this, but for systems, can this happen? I don't know. And I love to experiment and play. And so I just was like, well, let me try it. And after my first one, I was like, this is it. Like, we're going to make this work. I don't know if it's sustainable, but gosh, dang it. I'm going to like figure it out. And 3.5 years later of doing VIP days is about 80% of my business revenue. every single year, making six figures a year. It's been such an amazing business model for me. As again, somebody who just, you know, I have adrenal fatigue. I just health-wise, like I have to watch that stuff. So it's been a game changer for me personally.
Yeah. And I love that you bring up that like this helps you personally, because I think a lot of us will with like a hustle mentality of like, hey, you can make this work, but you're not going to be sleeping. You know, like, sure, you can make six figures a month, but like, you know, you're not going to have a normal life or anything. So I love that you bring that up and are honest. Like, this is you see your limits as energy goes, and you've figured out a way to work around that. So how many VIP days can you do a month and still feel good about your work balance?
Yeah, I would say it really depends on the person. I'm about 4 a month. It feels very good to me. It doesn't feel overwhelming. It's like the sweet spot. I have done 8 before in a month. That was a lot. So I feel like sweet spot is like 3 to 6 for a lot of people. And again, if you price it well, then, you know, it could definitely replace what you were making with your monthly retainers fairly easily, if not more than your monthly retainers. Because again, the power of VIP days is that people will pay more for quicker transformations. That's just how our brain operates. I didn't make that up. This is just how we work. And so I think of it like Disney World, which I went to every year for Christmas as a kid. And as we got older, there was this new way to go to Disney World called Fast Pass, which is like an efficiency person's heaven. So there's the regular ticket, which is, you know, you wait in that line for 2 hours to go on this 5-minute Peter Pan ride. If you have the Fast Pass, you pay more. I don't remember how much more it was, honestly, but you pay more to actually only wait in the line for like 15 minutes. Yeah, I will absolutely pay more to wait only 15 minutes and not 2 hours. Thank you so much. There's always a subset of every industry that will pay more for a quicker result. Disney World has it. You know, you think of food delivery. Could I, you know, make carbonara by myself? Sure. That takes a lot of time. I got to go get all this stuff in the grocery store. I got to count it out. Am I putting chicken in there? Don't know. Or I could just order it from Buca di Beppo down the street, have it delivered, pay a bit of a delivery cost, and it's at my door and I did nothing. Right? So in every industry, it's like this. And so I'm really wanting to bring that same mentality and that same opportunity in this industry, because I definitely think people are missing out on revenue and absolutely white space on their calendar, not having a virtual VIP day. So I'm all about it.
Yeah. I find that mentality to be true for podcasters or potential podcasters, because they think, hey, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to do the podcast thing, then I just want it done. If they're a business owner, which most of our clients are, as far as podcast managers, most of our clients also own businesses with their podcasts, then they're like, I can't have this podcast take a whole month out of my time because I'm running everything else behind the scenes as well. So I find that to really be true. The two packages that our listeners generally have is a podcast launch and a podcast monthly ongoing management, you know, editing, that kind of thing. So I'd like to talk about like those two pieces and how we could potentially turn both of those into VIP days and what that would look like. So let's talk about a launch, because I think that's a little bit more intuitive here, how you could do this as a VIP day. I've heard you talk a little bit about like pre-work.
Yes.
Okay. So if we were to have our clients send us work before this VIP day, how would that work with a podcast launch?
Yes. So a podcast launch, I would see it as, okay, what are all the elements that we've got? You know, cover art, we've got intro, outro music, we've got the actual interviews or solo episodes or panel episodes or whatever the version is, right? Then we have show notes / show descriptions. And then we also have like actual applications for iTunes, Spotify. That's kind of mainly the elements that we're talking about. And then maybe their strategy of like, are you doing a giveaway? Do you have a podcast posse? I've heard them call the people who are going to be sharing and promoting your podcast. And so looking at all those elements, it's important to know, one, where your clients are going to find the most value. So I would say the biggest thing is editing. Like most people do not want to edit their own podcast. And then secondly, like people think that applying your podcast is like this secret cave scenario. It's like, no, what are you talking about? Like,
no, that's why we're in business. I get it.
Totally. Like, and I used to actually have a podcast management agency for about a year. And so I know, like, that was like the biggest thing to people. Like, if I told them I was going to apply their podcast, they were like, oh my gosh, thank you. Like, I'm so excited. I'm like, literally, that is the least time thing out of all the things I'm doing. But okay.
Yeah.
So I would say the applications, the actual editing, and then like, if it's something where you're doing the launch and then they're going to go off and be great, then it's a matter of creating templates for them to move forward with show notes as well as the show descriptions and such. Mm-hmm. Like, make it easy where, again, maybe on the call, you are, there's a lot of ways you can structure VIP days. So, but for this, I'm honestly going to say a bookend VIP day would probably be best. And here's what that looks like, is you could put a call at the very beginning where you're going over like goals, maybe some suggestions that you have that they change, whether that's like, okay, you know, you have your show name, this is your show name, but I would adjust it to this for SEO purposes. Cause I get a lot of listeners, my podcast is System Save Me. I get a lot of listeners because people type in systems. If you type in systems, you're going to see System Save Me, like in the little autofiller thing. And there's benefit to that. And so I think people don't think about that as a strategy, but if you add that in there of like, let's make the name something so that either people who know of you are going to be searching for that, or outside people can find you who've never heard of you. You do all that in the beginning call for maybe 90 minutes. And then the rest of the day is like execution. So you'll go through, I encourage you to do a team, right? If you have a podcast management agency, hopefully you aren't doing all of this yourself, but if you are, making sure you go through the editing process, determine if you want to do 2 episodes, 3 episodes. I feel like most people do 3 for their launch. Go through, edit 3, create the show notes and the descriptions for 3, and then do the graphic stuff. So the cover art, the social media templates, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, you know, some of the applications and whatnot. And the thing is, for cover art and graphics, like there are ways I had on my questionnaire when I had my agency, it was, here's 6 different types of typical podcast graphics. Pick ones that are interesting to you and tell me why you like them. So then we're creating assets based off of, they're like, oh, I like that this has the little audio waves, or I like that this one has a picture with the audio waves on it, or I like that this one doesn't have a photo anywhere. And so that way you can speed up the process of creating those graphic elements without being like, let's go back and forth a bajillion times to get it right. And so then the rest of the day that you're doing the actual work, you can have them in a Slack channel or whatever else and just DM them as you get things done so that they're being aware that, you know, they have, they're like, great, like they're done editing. Great. They have the graphic elements and great. They're, you know, done applying. And then at the very end, it's a matter of, okay, how do we set them up for success after this? Either you can pitch them, right, to join my monthly management if you want. Or you can say, go and be great. Here's your show notes templates in Google Doc, copy, you know, just duplicate it and use it. Here's what it looks like in Libsyn if you're using that hosting company. Here's where you type in the title. Here's where you upload the audio. Here's the category tags. Here's, you know, all the sections. And let them know naming conventions, stuff like that. And then as far as editing, I would suggest, I'm big on just like podcasters not editing themselves. I'm just a big proponent for that.
And I feel like this type of client wouldn't be editing, but I can see that possibly, I see this working like if they wanted to keep editing in-house, like they wanted their virtual assistant or whoever to edit, then they'd say like, we just want you to get us set up. And then I love that you said like, give them something that they can walk away with besides the launch, of course, where it would be like maybe, you know, just a mini, mini course that you have where you can say, hey, this VIP day comes with this 3 videos on how to upload to Libsyn, how to piece together the episode or whatever. So their team then could use that information to move forward.
Totally. And there's so many softwares out there that allow for like templated things. So I think of like Canva, if you create their first graphic assets in Canva, literally just share them the URLs to those exact templates so that when they go and create them, they don't look any different. It's just passed on and they can you know, change out the title and change out the episode name. So that way, again, it's just thinking through how to really create what I call assets and deliverables. Assets are things that help speed up the day of your VIP day. And deliverables are things that set them up for success after your VIP day. So some of those assets can be deliverables as well, like the Canva templates, but and like the show note descriptions and things like that. But it's important to think of not only what's happening the day of, I really think it's important to think of setting them up for success. And I think that's the difference maker between a lot of people who do VIP days is like, are you really thinking about this person and how they can get the most out of the day, right? Or are you just like in out, like churn and burn, which isn't necessarily like how I like to operate.
Yeah, you're not going to get a lot of referrals that way. So then for a podcast launch, you know, we would be submitting their show on that day. And then a couple days later, their show would be start to get accepted from these platforms.
Yep.
So one of the things that I know could obviously there could be a lot of scope creep. And mainly on our part as the service provider of doing too much that we shouldn't be doing outside of the VIP day. So would it be effective to like, let's say, oh, you'll hear from me within 5 days when you've been accepted to all of the platforms and you send them the URLs or something.
Yeah. And the thing is you can, depending on if they like already have an iTunes account or they like have some of those things, or you just say, we create you a brand new iTunes account for, or not iTunes, iCloud account for submitting to iTunes. What I usually did was I would create this just Gmail account with the podcast name at gmail.com. And that's what I used for Google Play, for iTunes, for like all the different places. And so then that way they had that email account to know that's kind of where all my podcast stuff is. And so then they were able to like go in there and see when things were live. But it also could be if somebody is like, I want to launch this next month, but I do want all the launch stuff done now. You could also do it to where you stop before the actual application process. And while people think it's like, you know, intense, you could, again, add it to the course that you're going to be sending to them afterwards of like, here's literally a video of how you apply to iTunes. Here's a video on Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, all the places. So, you know, you can kind of play around with where you want it to stop and how, again, how you just set them up for success if they are doing it within a longer time span.
Yeah. And then whatever questions you see like popping up, like, okay, people are getting really confused with this piece of it. So I'll make sure I add this into my assets or my deliverables and to make it a clean process.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, you're not going to get it perfect the first time you do a VIP day. The very first VIP I did, I had to bonus an extra hour because I didn't accurately understand how long it was going to take me. Here's the thing, the client was like, great, that sounds awesome. They didn't know the difference. Like, they're like, oh, a bonus hour. And she was super lovely. But I think that like relieving yourself of the pressure and also allowing for if you want to have any post, I guess, intensive or VIP day support, I have like a 30-day Slack, I don't know, time frame where they can ask any questions that they want to. And I'm going to tell you right now, that helps sell it. And then like 85% of people don't ever Slack me. And it's fine. I don't take offense to it. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. No, that's ideal.
But it helps, right, to let them know, like, you're not just off the cliff and then like disappearing. I've had some people create like a 30-day follow-up call because they'd rather do that versus Slack support. So again, what works for you? And determine what is best there, because you will want to catch the small percentage that may start pinging you about extra stuff and understanding what is scope creep and what is not, right? So if they're asking me, I help people with client management systems. So if they start talking to me like hiring stuff, like that's like not really what we're talking about. But if you want to like talk to me about if you want to change this with your client management system, then that makes sense. So letting people know and being super upfront about what they can and can't do. It's the first time people are working with you generally. And so I think we forget, we're like, oh, this person's doing this and like whatever. And we make drama about it. And then it's like, they've never worked with you before. And probably what they're doing now is what somebody else was okay with. So we just have to tell them that that's not okay for working with me. Nothing is wrong with it. Maybe that's how it was done in the past for you. But for me and my values and my business, that's not okay.
Yeah, I just did an episode about scope creep. So it's like on my boundaries and all that is on my mind. And You're right, though. It don't take offense to people asking you if you can do more.
Totally.
It's not that they're even unhappy with what you've already done. It's just they just want to know, hey, do you mind fixing this? Hey, do you mind sending me over 10 other graphics? You totally. Can just say, nope, you know, that's not within this project. You can for X, Y, and Z. You know, you can give them some sort of other option. But yeah, it's like we take it personally mm-hmm. when we don't necessarily need to.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Yeah. So no, I love that you said like that you've seen it done successfully where you can have like a 30-day follow-up call, because I think that's just easier on the service provider to get started because you don't want to sell this high ticket. Well, speaking of like pricing, let's say that you had like, keep numbers easy, like $1,000 launch. And usually this is a package that took you a month.
Okay.
This was, you know, someone would be working with you for a whole month. You'd get their podcast launched for $1,000. About what would that turn into if it was a VIP day?
So I usually will look at the value of that. And for things that are, generally speaking, a lot closer to a revenue number, not that it's easier to sell higher numbers, mm-hmm. but if it's like I'm setting up your evergreen webinar, you can generally charge a lot for that because it's like once they turn it on, they're going to make all that money back in mm-hmm. a month or two. So I would say that that tends to be on like the more high end of mm-hmm. the VIP days. However, I do know people who like build systems and make $10,000 in a day. I'm not even there yet. I'm at 5,000. So for that one, I would say looking at, you know, what is the value? Is the value that, you know, we know the value is that their podcast is launched, but what does that mean for their business? Are they trying mm-hmm. to use their podcast to get more clients? Are they using it to build referral partnerships? Are they using it to have people buy their course? If we can't attach it to a goal of theirs, then it's going to be harder for you to price at a higher rate. I would mm-hmm. say you could bump it up to 1500, 2000 fairly easy. Because again, it's that shortened time frame, but that doesn't mean you can't even go higher than that. It just mm-hmm. means we would have to target people who are using their podcast strategically and not just doing it as a hobby yeah. or not just doing it to play around. Cause then it gets a little bit harder to increase the price.
Yeah.
So I would think, again, you could get to 2 or 3 and be pretty comfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have it directly tied to like, we help people build podcasts that get them clients, you could even hike that up to 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could be serious.
Yeah, that's serious. That's some serious business. Yeah. And I just did an episode on like ROI of podcasts. So for our listeners, if you want to go back and listen to that to see how you can show your clients the ROI financial, but then there's other ROIs. So that would be good to tie to this. But also what you said about this being definitely an offer that would be more for the business podcaster versus the hobby podcaster. Because
yes.
maybe someone with a hobby, if they're just like really excited to get this going, potentially. But
yeah.
this makes more sense. And just, I talk about this a lot, podcast management makes more sense for people that have a business associated with their podcast. So that's, you know, that is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it was Gary Vee, but I haven't listened to him in forever. So who knows where I found this from. So don't quote me. But the like highest price things are health, wealth, and love.
Mm.
People will buy a lot of money to get thinner, right? People do thousands of thousands of thousands of dollars of surgeries, all sorts of stuff. Wealth, you think of that, like if I put $1,000 in, I get 10,000 back, I'm gonna be excited. So I'm gonna pay for that. But also love, like why is Match.com, you know, Match is headquartered here in Dallas, like Tinder, all these things, they're off the charts, having all sorts of mm-hmm. money going on. So if you can tie your podcast in a way that ties to one of those, so most likely it's gonna be wealth, then you can price that bad boy pretty high and mm-hmm. not have people blink an eye.
Yeah. I actually heard that same thing when the pandemic first came on to us. It was like, hey, if mm-hmm. your business is about one of those three things, you're always going to survive because people are always going to be interested in those three categories. And I think that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a group coaching program about setting up a VIP day.
Yeah.
Well, number one, I just want to know, like, what are all of the different, not all of them, but what are some examples of like VIP days that people have?
Oh my goodness, so many.
Yeah.
I have a really vibrant and eclectic group, which I love. And so we have some common ones like Dubsados in a day, like course curriculum in a day, evergreen webinar setup in a day, write a sales page in a day, a lot of those sorts of ones. Mm-hmm. But then we also have like UX design. We have a relationship coach in there. We have a gal who helps fintech startups with Lean Six Sigma. It's like so vibrant and I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
And so you can, again, if you are a coach, consultant, or somebody who has a framework, so even if it's a course that you sell that has a framework, you can absolutely build that up to then be a VIP day. So we've seen people who have, you know, like a 5-step course for, I don't know, building a website. And then their upsell is, hey, do you want me to just build your website in a day? That's going to be this cost. And it literally can happen just like that, to where people get into your course and they're like, oh, I thought I wanted to build my website. And like, not that the course is bad or anything, but like, also it's a lot of work. So let me just pay you money to then build my website.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then again, from like VIP days, you can downsell to them the course as like an opportunity for them to go and be great if other pages or stuff like that. So maybe you have bonuses about landing pages or sales pages in your course, but you only do website for your VIP days. Then you can say, hey, if you want like extra resources, or you want to, you know, do other pages yourself, like ongoing or for your team, here's another way that you can get support from me in more of a DIY way. So the core thing is that if you have a framework, and what I consider a framework is a set of like phases or philosophies that help people create the transformation that they're wanting. So for example, my client management framework is qualify, collect, create, comment, and close. Qualify is, you know, is this a lead that you should talk to? Are they a good person for your product? Get on the sales call, sell them. Then we've got collect, which is money, right? Invoice, contract, intake questionnaire, schedule the first call. Create and comment is the part where we're diving deep into their service and we're looking at, okay, what are you doing for them? And then what feedback loop do you have during the process? And then close is, how do you offboard them? Is there a last payment, testimonials, referrals, reviews, all of that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I could sell a course, I could sell a membership, I could sell a VIP day, I could sell a group program, I could sell a book, I could sell all the different things of that same framework. And that's really what the power is. So I encourage you, if you have a framework, then VIP days are going to be just another drop in the bucket for you of just like, oh, like, this is super easy. Let me just hop in and build my framework in a day format. But if you don't have a framework, however, you are a coach or service provider or something of the like, then VIP days are also going to be really, really simple for you to just hop into, because you have no new software like you do courses. You don't have to hire anybody to be on your team to do VIP days like you do agencies. It's literally just like, we're using the same software. I'm generally getting it through referral partners, or podcasts is actually one of the ways that I get VIP day clients as well. I'm a big fan of podcasts. And so you're not having to learn any new marketing like Facebook ads or webinars or stuff like that. It's such a like no-brainer for me, because you're not having to do a ton of pivoting to make this business model work for you. It really isn't.
Yeah, because it's so easy to get sidetracked into thinking, oh, this is what I need to do. I need to flip my business upside down to try this thing out. Yeah, it's an easy pivot. And I see it really working for podcasters, because the biggest thing that podcasters are looking for is time savers. So they realize that, okay, if I'm going to do this podcast thing, it's going to take so much of my time and my energy. So how can I either pass that time and energy off to my team, and how can we create kind of a system out of it? So I see that as being one of the biggest reasons that they would invest in a VIP day, is to say, let's just burn this out in 4 hours and then give me a system so I can go on my own and my team can work the magic.
Yep. There's benefit to that. I think a lot of people are like, well, somebody already has a virtual assistant, so why would I work with people who have a virtual assistant? I work with a lot of people who have a virtual assistant, an online business manager, a project manager, or something of the like. That's still in my vein of systems. However, I know what their role is in people's companies and what my role is. I come in and I create the structure. for then the rest of your team to follow and maintain. Mm-hmm. I'm a terrible follower and maintainer. You would think I was the worst systems person if I was on your team ongoing, honestly. So I see it as like a perfect match because, again, a lot of VAs and OBMs, they don't want to create the system. That's why they're like, hey, what do you want me to do? Hey, how can I help you? Because they're looking for that structure. They're looking for that system already being created. And so, you know, if you don't have it, then probably you need to hire somebody or do it yourself to actually create that system for the people on your team to continue to execute on.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Now, can a beginner podcast manager, can they do this? That's probably a lot of what someone's thinking is, if I have only launched one podcast and I have, you know, two clients, is this realistic for me?
So I started doing VIP days about 5 months into my business. Again, I had only had four clients. So my thing is, I would like for people to have had at least a few clients to know what they like and what they don't like, so mm-hmm. that we can create a VIP day that actually fits your preferences. What's hard if you have no experience at all in the avenue you're trying to create a VIP day on, then there's going to be more trial and error with VIP days. And I'd rather just, you know, skip out on some of the things that weren't working for you so that we don't have to use that during your testing part of your VIP day. So if you have had one, two, three clients, totally have a VIP day and try it out. 100%.
Yeah. And a lot of the podcast managers listening, they started as virtual assistants. They've mm-hmm. pivoted into podcast management. So they've likely had clients, either a handful of podcast clients or other clients. So
totally.
Sometimes we undermine that experience we've had. Just being totally. Behind the scenes on people's businesses, you learn so much, you know, just getting your feet in it. So yeah, I think I can see how two clients or so, you'd be ready to set up a system for VIP days.
Yeah, exactly. And you can use them as like, oh, I only want to do VIP days, or you can set them up to be what I call a qualifying offer. Meaning if you set up this person's launch and you didn't like working with them, don't offer them your monthly ongoing and just be done, like walk away, got my pay, goodbye.
Yes.
But if you really enjoyed working with them, then it's like, great, I got paid to know that I like and enjoy you. So now let's work together even more. So it's a really cool way too that a lot of people are like, okay, I sign these like 3 month minimum packages with people. And then the first 2 weeks, I'm like, literally, oh my gosh, no. So it's much easier to just suffer for a day than it is to suffer for 3 months if you don't like a particular client.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And one of like the good and bad things about podcast management is that your clients will stick with you longer because once you start a podcast, you're going to keep it around for, you know, a year. It's like a long-term totally. Strategy. So as a podcast manager, you'll get 3-4 clients under your belt and realize I'm almost capped out, but I can keep launching podcasts. I can't keep doing management, but I can keep launching. So I think that would be another time that VIP days would be really natural to add because then you're not adding a lot more hours to your plate, but you're adding more work and you're getting more experience. So yeah, I love this idea. Thank you so much for giving us such like specific information on it. How can people work with you? How can they find you after the episode?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm big on Instagram. Love Instagram so much. And so you can find me there at System Saved Me. And I do have my podcast, System Saved Me, and then my website, systemsavedme.com. So we like to keep things pretty streamlined, pretty easy to find. There'll be some different nuggets and goodies on the website if you want to like dive deeper into a VIP day. But also if you just want to come DM me and let me know any good nuggets and takeaways that you got from the episode, like that's always my jam too.
Yes, me too. Whoever's listening, let us know that you are here by tagging us on Instagram because I love seeing that too.
Yeah, same.
All right, Jordan, thank you so much for chatting with us today. I'm excited to talk about this with everyone after the show.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Lauren.
Thanks. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook and let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.